Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out, a podcast about bad movies. As we all know, Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. They do. They do. I'm joined, as always, by Jack Estabrook.
Hello.
Cody Wolf.
Hello.
Andy Wolf.
Here.
Brian, sometimes known as Bill Muir.
Yep. Whatever you want to call me. Yeah. As long as it starts with a B, I'm cool. Bartholomew, Bartran, Byron.
Bartran.
Very nice.
Isn't Bartram a name? That's a name, right?
Bertram is a name.
I feel like
you're Bert now.
Yeah.
Bert. I've gone from Brian to Bill to Bert.
Bert. Yeah, you are now the chimney sweep from Mary Poppins.
All right. Let's get this podcast going.
And we are back. This is our first annual holiday movie fiesta. Or as one of my friends said this week, why don't you just call it a fiesco? Or, yeah,
sure,
fiesco.
It's like a fiasco combined with a fiesta.
Yeah,
fiesta,
cool. Save a word there. Yeah. And this week, it is the 2006 Black Christmas, the Black Christmas remake. We should...
The bad one.
For those of you who aren't, of course, already know, every horror movie made like after 2000 is a remake, basically.
Of a 70s or 80s horror movie, yeah. This is the 2006 Black Christmas remake, a film I had never seen before watching this
DVD.
And
wish he hasn't seen
it. This was a movie I vowed never to see. And one thing about this podcast is it's forcing me to watch movies that I vowed never to watch.
It's breaking down all your walls.
It is, because I saw the trailer for this, and I was like, this looks completely stupid. I don't ever want to see it.
I didn't even realize this was a movie.
Funny you should mention breaking down walls in this movie.
And, Guess they didn't get the word out well on this one.
And as a horror fan, I mean, most Christmas... horror movies are, this is great. It combines Christmas with horror.
I'm not really sure that's a genre. I mean,
yeah,
Christmas
sure. Silent
horror.
Night, Deadly Night four. Is great. Christmas
more
Evil.
Than four.
Christmas Evil.
Christmas Evil, Black.
Silent Night, Bloody Night.
And Silent Night, Deadly. That's four.
I think that's
Silent
it.
Night,
I think,
Deadly Night.
Including Night, remakes, Deadly Night. I think we're at four.
Have you guys seen
There's
Elf?
More.
That is frightening.
That is frightening. Yeah. But it is a Christmas movie, so it qualified for our first annual holiday movie, Fiasco Fiesta. And we will, this is, okay, we'll get
and
into
And we watched,
this.
By the way, we watched the unrated one.
It was very unrated.
Well, I didn't even
very unrated.
That.
Oh, yeah, it says on the covers, unrated.
And
it also says, one of the best horror movies of 2006 was Black Christmas.
What else
there
did not
many good movies that year,
yeah. I think that was
you
one
need your reading
of,
glasses?
Yeah,
okay?
I can't see anymore.
I think that full review probably said one of the best Christmas-themed horror
That's
movies.
That's why I was going to say yes. They omitted part of
it. It was between that
it
and Leprechaun 7.
It just says one of the best horror movies of the year. It doesn't say what year, though. It didn't say 2006.
Oh, good
that's
point.
True. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So they could
whatever
be
year this guy watched this movie.
Yeah, yeah. It could be that could be one of the best horror films
Let
to be released in 2025.
From the future.
All right. So to get into this is a wildly confusing horror film. I've never been as confused.
I have to go back and rewatch scenes from a crappy horror movie.
Yeah,
like
right.
Yeah.
Just to understand what's going on. Who
wrong.
People are.
There was
So
my notes for this the first half hour of this movie were just all over the place because I had no idea.
It just jumps.
You need like a freaking family tree of that sorority house to figure out.
You don't
out
know who's who. And one of the worst things they cast like five dark haired women.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell who was who.
I didn't know
so
who was who. I didn't
they're
know
throwing
who was...
names around, Dana, Lisa.
And they're like generic. They kept
it was like Lou Vega's Mambo number 5.
They kept talking
little
about
America in Susie gets killed in the first 30 seconds.
Well, they keep talking about women who you either have never seen or you saw once for like a scene.
Right, they did.
Yeah. And they keep talking about, I can't remember the names, like Cheryl and
Claire,
yeah, that's Claire and something.
Bill.
I don't even. Lee, I think no. Lee is one of the. Is the old,
Lee is the sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So the movie starts off with a sorority girl killed by a guy hiding, or a sorority girl killed by someone. Spoiler alert! I don't want to say anything.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah.
Spoiler alert!
A sorority girl was killed by someone hiding under her bed,
which I thought at first was. Back in,
I thought it was a flashback.
I know. This is where it starts to get confusing because then it cuts
she's using
to a sanitarium.
Yeah, she's using
like a quill.
I don't know if it's that long. She's rushing by
the
candlelight, playing her harp.
Yeah. She's right with a quill. Like,
it's a fountain pen. It's not a quill.
But
she's freaking yours.
This girl
is
the opening film.
It's 1755.
The film. It's Christmas. The girl is writing a note to someone. She's wrapping this gift, and she gets murdered. Bag goes over.
Well,
her head,
I want to say too.
Stabbed and killed.
I want to say one of my notes later on in this movie is like. has the most obvious foreshadowing in any movie I've ever seen. Like, everything is like a really obvious foreshadow.
Like a unicorn.
Well, yeah, that, but this... Yeah. In this first scene, you
scissors,
see it.
She's writing
with this fountain pen, and she puts it on the floor, and there's this like 5 second close up of this pen on the floor. Like, I wonder what's gonna happen.
Oh, that's interesting. The pen and the cap are separated from each other on the rug. I don't think
he used them in the movie, but there was also a corkscrew, a shot of a corkscrew, shot of scissors. Very much.
Oh yeah, they lay a lot of cable in this movie. You know, or lay a lot of pipe, as they would say, to really make sure you're getting the setup.
Some Dudley Moore.
Someone was laying pipe in this movie.
Yeah, Dudley Moore in multiple ways.
The reason why Andy was confused, I agree, is this girl gets killed, and then it cuts to an insane asylum, right. And they're telling the story. The guards. About this guy who killed people on Christmas, and how he's been in jail, and every year he tries to escape, and every year he fails. Again, this film is making no.
Well, because they cut to it.
I wonder if that was
a
flashback, and now this is the guy who killed.
But then
really
later on, you discover that was not a flashback.
Right. Which is why I was really confused later on when her sister came in.
And then
when it went to flashbacks, because I kind of like you didn't even realize the flashbacks were kind of
Let me set the table here a little bit.
There's a runaway train.
Yeah. This movie, a
runaway Polar Express.
So the movie has
the curator needs to take care of
curator of our podcast.
So the movie. The movie has two storylines going. There's a storyline in the sorority house, and there's a storyline in a sanitarium with this deranged killer who's locked up. So this movie's going to confuse you either way, because either you think the stuff in the sanitarium is a flashback, which it isn't, so you're confused, or you're like, wait, there's two killers because someone is killing them while the deranged killer is still in the sanitarium. So no matter what's going on, it's
confusing. Was the third option. Mine was, I thought the beginning was a flashback. And then the sanitarium stuff was today, which it was.
Which would make sense.
But then that
flashback
he had already escaped and was in the house. But then they kept going back to the sanitarium where he still was.
My God. I was like, insane. Oh, my God.
I was like, why is he in the attic? He's still in the sanitarium. Like,
oh, my God. I'm glad. Wow, that would totally explode all brain cells. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk for a second about the sanitarium plot line, where this dangerous deranged killer is locked up in his little cell, I guess. Okay, tries to escape every Christmas Eve. So there's a guard sitting outside of his cell. Let me ask everyone here a question. If you're a guard sitting outside the cell of a deranged killer and his little meal tray opens, and there's a gift wrapped present on it.
You can open it.
Do you open it?
No.
The guy who tries to escape every Christmas Eve.
And he tries to escape every... Would you open that? I would say no.
No.
Well, then
no.
he gets tricked James Bond style here, because the bad guy, or the insane person does is like hide...
Yeah, no. He opens up the slot, and he looks in, and he's not in there.
So he opens the door and has to go...
Doesn't call anybody right away for backup. Yeah. Or alert, hey, it might be escape.
Yeah. Or he doesn't even say, hey, you in there, quit hiding under the door.
He just goes in because there's a hole in the wall. The fountain's been ripped off or whatever hell it was. The urinal, whatever.
Yeah.
And starts looking in the hole.
Hold on.
I want to take a break for a second here. Are we to understand that in your world, water fountains and urinals are the same thing in your world?
It depends
how bad I gotta go.
It's an insane asylum. I'm old.
I got bladder problems.
It's an insane asylum. They have to streamline the process.
Okay. All right.
Did it streamline the process
in this world?
Streamline. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
So then here's one of my pet peeves about horror movies. Is like the security guard looks in the hole and gets grabbed from behind. And I love this in movies. The people just kind of sit there and go, they don't ever flip around. I mean, if somebody grabs me from behind and I'm in an insane person's place,
jump
around. What the fuck is that? I mean, oops, sorry.
You're
going to do something.
This is the unrated
Everybody
podcast.
In horror movies always kind of laser. And unless the guy stick, how long it took him to stick the candy cane in his neck?
Okay, how are we not even talking about this?
I know, why
are we talking about why the guy didn't start? He was killed with a sharpened candy cane.
Those things are sharp.
I think we buried the lead on
that. As well as icicles, which we'll find out later how sharp icicles are.
There is no way a candy cane is sharp enough to kill someone. You cannot
Well,
sharpen.
Maybe he's been working
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, he's sucking at it, so it's really sharp.
He just got that
set. Yeah, there is, you could not sharpen.
Maybe he's been practicing every Christmas Eve, like how to. Well, not only did he stab him with the candy cane, he shanked him. He put it in his neck and he broke it off so he could have the rest for later.
Yeah, that's
smart
right.
guy.
And this is and, Well, and to add to the confusion, in both the sanitarium scene and the sorority house scene, there's someone like hiding, well, an adult hiding under a bed. An adult person hiding under a bed is a key plot point. Which you're like, if you're an adult and you've ever tried to hide under a bed, good luck.
Well, the sad part is it worked both times. They're two for two.
And that's another reason I thought the beginning was a flashback, because it was the same thing. And then as soon as he escaped, he walks out of the room after he kills the guard, it goes back to the sorority house where somebody's in the attic. And this is why I got confused. I'm like, how is he in the attic already? Because I thought it was...
I guess we should go right into this. Why are these sorority sisters playing Secret Santa and buying gifts for the serial killer who used to live in the house?
Oh, yeah. We need to talk about that, because everyone treats that concept like it's totally normal. Trivial. Like, this is a tradition. We buy a Secret Santa gift for a deranged killer who killed everyone here like 25 years ago. And everyone's on board with this.
Except for like one of the
girls.
One of the girls
kind of rolls her eyes like, oh my God, this is so lame. I'm totally not getting that deranged killer.
By the way, once again, the girls I could give a rat's ass about. They're all whiny little bitches.
No, they're
fired up today.
Oh my God, it's just terrible. I mean, come on.
They're pretty easy on the eyes.
Friday 13th developed more character than these guys did.
Oh, that Katie Cassidy.
I love Katie Cassidy.
Yeah, okay.
That was the plus of the movie.
Hold on before we.
I'm more of a Harriet the Spy Girl.
Michelle Trachtenberg.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Ever since I saw her in Eurotrip.
What's her face?
Lacey Chabert is.
She grew up pretty good too.
Yeah.
Which one is Lacey?
She's the one who
got killed on the porch.
Yeah. Dana, her name was.
Big girl from Party of Five.
She was in Party of Five.
She's in Lost in Space too.
Okay.
Yeah. One of my favorite lines in this movie is when they're talking about the Secret Santa, where the deranged killer, of course, is included in the Secret Santa, and the house mother's like, we're just having a little fun. Like, what's not fun about buying a Secret Santa gift for a murderer who's locked up in a sanitarium? And that's played.
I'd like to know what they got him.
Who here has seen the original?
I haven't. I always wanted to.
I haven't seen the 1974 original, but Andrea Martin. Well, okay. I guess I'm going to give away what was going to be our "So Wrong It's Right" question. But Andrea Martin, the house mother, was one of the sorority girls in the 1974 original.
Does that mean she's a legacy? Because she says that a lot.
She's a legacy.
Oh, God.
She's a legacy. I was reading that they either wanted her or Margot Kidder, who was also in the original.
That would have been freaking awesome.
Yeah.
But she was too crazy to take the part.
Yeah. But that would have worked for the role, though. She could have played the killer.
That would have worked for the role.
Or was she too sane to take the part?
Yeah.
She
wasn't crazy at all.
So now, and we also, at this somewhere in here, we start to actually get real flashbacks. Flashbacks to the deranged killer when he is a child. So now they've got two simultaneous narratives going and a flashback.
We get the flashback when the house mother's putting the marshmallow in her mouth.
Oh, I want to talk about that. She goes,
zoom into her mouth.
This is hilarious.
For some reason, it's like this dramatic push into her mouth. I'm like, what?
She goes,
yeah.
It was hilarious because she said something like,
That was a really disturbing moment in this movie.
It was funny because she said something. She's telling this dramatic story, and she goes, Billy, I can't remember what she said, but she said, Billy lived here, and then she puts this giant marshmallow in her mouth.
Yeah. And the camera, tracks this marshmallow down into her throat.
That's how they set up a flashback. I'm like,
It was
freaking hilarious.
So in this flashback,
Billy is born with yellow skin.
Yeah, Billy.
Billy, and maybe who will grow up to be the killer.
Well, Billy, let's set the table. Billy is the guy in the sanitarium, and Billy is born with yellow skin, and for reasons that
he's got like this liver disorder. Mother who
liver
hates
disorder.
Him,
which we all know. I mean, well, we all don't know, but I know that some liver disorders with yellow skin are caused from
intermingling
with kin.
What? Is that implied? It obviously comes in later.
That does. I don't know.
Inbreeding? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
This podcast has taken a dark and disturbing turn.
So the film does eventually.
The fact that you know that has taken this into a dark place.
Oh, you know it too. You know it too.
Yellowing of the skin, which is also called jaundice, is often caused by liver conditions.
I know that part, but the fact that this is caused by inbreeding and that Andy's dropping this like we're referencing.
Well, because
like,
there's already inbreeding. I mean, there's inbreeding later on, I think.
Right, and that person didn't have yellow skin.
This whole thing is inbred.
Okay.
Yeah, they did in the end. think she had yellow
okay.
hair.
Okay. Well, all right. So, okay. So, anyway. So, Billy's mom.
So, Billy's mom doesn't like Billy. And
but Billy's dad so is a pretty good dad.
He has a tournament in his crib.
Billy's mom's like 72 at this point.
I know. She's
oh,
like
she
this,
looks very,
this age
very
gap weathered. Here. Yeah. It's like,
when
dad.
She, no, no. Like she 70? Has like Benjamin Button disease because when they yeah, show her later on, she appears to be younger when Billy is a teenager than she is when she was born.
Right. It was weird. I thought they showed him. Is that grandma? What the hell is that?
I don't know. So, yeah. So, she crushes a Christmas ornament right on him
sprinkles
as a baby.
Sprinkles it onto the baby, and then dad just stands there and is like, okay.
And it was actually a really good acting job by the baby, because the baby had that look on his face like, seriously? Why would you do
really,
that?
Mom? Really, Mom? Yeah.
I mean, it's the one ornament on the tree.
I really liked the age 5 flashback when the mom tells the kid that Santa was shot down by the Russians.
Yeah.
Like, ouch.
It really set what was going
what
on
really
in the country
did,
at that time.
It's not only like it's harsh, but it's like, ouch, that's some harsh
it's
political background
could,
to be given to a 5-year-old. You know, boy.
But, you know, Santa goes to Russia, too, so why would the Russians shoot him down?
I know.
It really doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Sorry, John Lithgow shot him down.
She just really doesn't like this kid. They're establishing she hates this
and
kid.
They never really
explain, because he's yellow.
They never really explain why, except that his skin is yellow, so that freaks
and
her
that,
out.
And that she hates the husband and
she
the,
didn't like
the son
him.
Reminded
it wasn't what she
her
wanted
her
or wasn't what
well,
she
she's
expected.
Cheating. What happens is she's cheating on...
Her husband. He was in Vietnam when we got back. She had a boyfriend or something like that.
Okay.
They said in that
and
part.
They
yeah, I can hear them when they're arguing. Like, oh, I was in Vietnam. Your boyfriend.
And basically the kid,
you know.
The kid a la the Who's Tommy watches the mom and her lover kill the father.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And this kind
and then
of
gets
sets
in the
him
walls.
Off a little bit,
yeah.
obviously.
I thought
yeah.
at first that the oh, wife just killed the guy. I'm like, seriously?
Yeah, then the other guy just showed
the
up.
Wife kill him, but then, yeah, that other guy.
Yeah.
Well, he is kind of thrown in there all of a sudden, like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm a boyfriend character, and we're going to kill you now and bury you in the basement or whatever. It does kind
well,
of come out.
Well, they don't establish much in this movie.
They
want to go for the cool kills.
Yeah, so yeah, because then we immediately flash back to the sorority house.
Flash
forward to the sorority house.
Right.
Where they're trying to set up these characters. And my favorite was...
We haven't even mentioned
the second
set them up? Kill scene in the first, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, the girl was watching herself in the porno?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
But the girl's sitting there watching a porno of herself, and it's later discovered that this guy is the boyfriend of another girl in the sorority house.
This movie is all over the place.
And she leaves it up. She, like, leaves it paused up on her computer.
And the boyfriend-girlfriend thing,
it didn't go anywhere. Yeah.
I didn't feel like they were in boyfriend girlfriend at all.
They didn't even need to be boyfriend girlfriend,
right?
Because like Oliver Hudson, he just comes and goes from this movie at random.
And he happens
gestures,
to know information
like,
about the killer. He also has flashback stories, like the den mother.
Yeah.
I thought that maybe the two of them were the killers.
Well, that would have actually.
Well, they
that
tried,
actually would have made more sense.
They tried
that
to
been a better movie.
They tried to misdirect a couple times, and it didn't work.
Well, yeah, because
you know, they try to misdirect.
One of them made me so angry too.
Yeah, I know which one.
Yeah, Eve.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's talk about that.
Okay, well,
let's
do it.
Let's talk about that.
This is the next flashback.
This one made me angry.
Yeah, because nothing really happened.
Nothing
happened.
Well, no,
really.
two funny things happened. One is they introduce some nerdy girl. This totally nerdy girl walks into the sorority Christmas party. Everyone looks at her weird.
Like,
we
like,
never see her again.
No,
we
well,
never
you
see her.
I didn't think
like, you know who she
we'll
is,
get
too.
That later.
Yeah.
They're like, kind of like, who is
you
that?
Do,
well,
first, you do see her again. I didn't realize you did, though, until I read the synopsis on Wikipedia.
You see her dead. You
yeah.
see her dead. Yeah, you see her dead.
She,
well, why
off,
is she even in this movie?
First off, when she shows up, she gives one of the girls a giant unicorn head with this giant horn, which is
also
funny.
Yeah, of course, yeah, they wrap it in newspaper.
And the little
like,
boy in the flashback, the killer as a kid, used to get his presents in newspaper.
This was like the $5 cover charge in Tango and Cash. Why is it in the movie? Like, what is this doing in here?
Because it's a red herring, because then it goes back to the flashback where...
Oh, this
they
is
show,
a,
they,
Andy, why don't you take this scene, since he knows everything about inbreeding.
There's
okay,
some
this is some dark territory
there's some we're going in this scene.
Some dark territory here, folks.
I don't know. I mean,
this really...
Hold our hands and guide us through.
And she's at the top of the stairs, riding her boyfriend.
Yeah,
who falls asleep.
He falls asleep.
Yes.
Yeah, that's when you know you should just hang it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, okay, I mean, she's nothing to look at, but I don't know if I'd fall asleep.
But, this is the darkest podcast ever.
Right. This is uplifting.
Hey,
I'm glad Andy didn't fall asleep.
I am.
But so I guess mom's not satisfied.
Yeah.
He's asleep.
She's so riled up. She needs something. Okay, so, she can't just go to the refrigerator. She decides to go.
What do you have in your refrigerator?
What does that mean? Can someone else tell this part now?
She decides to go upstairs to Billy. What's his name?
When Andy has his carnal craving, he goes to the fridge.
We may have to cut you off. Okay.
Can I take this? Upstairs to Billy.
Her son.
Who is like 12 at this point.
Oh, my God.
A smoked sausage won't cure this.
That's what I'm saying. What? So she's been locked upstairs for all the whole long.
Oh, my God. I have a question after this. I'll tell the rest of the story, but I have an important question after this story's done.
In reading kin sex.
Yes. Okay, so she goes upstairs and she has sex with her son, where we then find out that she got pregnant from sex with her son.
Right.
And then lies and says it's the boyfriend's baby.
Yeah, and they...
So you saw the baby. If I was the boyfriend and that, and then it was the kid that popped out, I'd be like, that's not mine.
And try to misdirect you. Boy,
because they say, and you know, her name, we named her Agnes, whatever.
And then they show Eve.
And then it cuts back to the sorority house, and it's like Eve, right, like smiling
it
all
doesn't,
creepy.
It doesn't direct dissolve from the baby to her, so
right.
it's obviously her, right?
Because then it goes back to the flashback again. So confusing.
Yeah. And then, then Eve disappears.
Wait, and why is she even in the sorority? Everyone else is so hot. How did she get in?
There's like a throwaway line where the house mother's like, she's a legacy. Her mom was.
Yeah, she's a legacy.
That's right.
Well, I like the sorority because I was thinking it. They really don't have much diversity in the sorority.
No, this is
usually
like
usually
they really don't.
You throw a couple of you know, a couple
this
of
this is like the whitest horror movie I've ever seen.
Yeah,
usually
this
you
is
have dead serious.
Yeah.
I mean, except for the exception of there's one black guy, he's the guard who gets killed at the beginning. Everyone else is white.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I'm not like you get to throw it.
Which is kind of ironic because the movie's called Black Christmas.
I wasn't gonna go there. But,
all right, wait. Hold on. Before we move forward,
please mention that this is like the whitest podcast.
Before we move forward, I've got
how much diversity?
Diversity.
We've got to tackle this for a second. Wait, now, Andy, when you mentioned...
What the hell is diversity?
They used during the Civil War era.
All right, Andy Wolf needs to address a topic. So when you were surprised that the mom is all riled up and her boyfriend falls asleep and you suggested she go to the refrigerator, what does that mean?
Wait. Refrigerator, my son, which one are you going to choose?
Are you saying she should have had sex with her refrigerator?
There's contents.
I think I know where he's going. Not know where you're going.
Stop it, please, Alex. Stop. Just let it go.
Are you talking about?
Let it go.
You know why
let
I
go.
We have gained.
Let it go.
Yeah, we have gained. Like, I don't know what goes on. If the cops are waiting for you when this podcast is over, I think we're going to know why.
Is this the Casual Predator?
I know, really. Wow, I think this is like...
Oh my gosh, there's some sweet tea on the table.
Have a seat, a brownie.
Okay.
So anyway, okay.
What am I talking about?
They try to misdirect Eve, and then Eve suddenly disappears like out of thin air.
Here's another question.
She's standing in the hallway.
Here's one.
And all of a sudden there's this paper on the floor, and the mother's like, where'd she go?
Every time someone is killed in this movie, someone in the cast receives a phone call with their convenient... Christmas Carol cell phone ringtone, which everybody has in this movie, because at Christmas time, I know I change my ringtone just for the few
weeks. Yeah, me too.
Right.
Anyway,
the
ringtone is always the sound of the victim dying and the bad guy.
Well, that's what happens
even
here.
After we've seen them die and know that they are incapable of crying and suffering in the phone call.
The bad guy seems to like to just call cell phones and say random crazy things.
How can the victims be crying in the background if many of them are dead? Like,
well, 100%. At one point, the voices in the background are of his mother and his stepfather.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
First one I thought was a recording.
But I think they all might have been recordings. I think he's got, like, Pro Tools, and he's, like, mixing audio tracks.
Yeah.
And then he's calling in with it.
So that's what happens here, though.
1976.
That's what it sounded like.
Is they come back to the sorority house, and Michelle Trachtenberg gets a phone call from Megan, which is one of the girls who was already killed.
That's
which
my favorite
did in one missed call.
But this is funny.
It's like one missed call.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But it's funny because she picks up the phone and it's this guy, or I guess, I don't know if it's a guy or not, but it's his voice. She's my family now or whatever. And she's screaming in the background. The phone hangs up and she goes, that was not Megan.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Really?
In case anyone's confused, that wasn't Megan.
Yeah. That wasn't Megan.
Yeah.
And I gotta
that's
tell
you, not like Megan's.
That's the only thing this movie clarifies is that was not Megan in that phone recording at all. Yeah, that's the only thing the movie establishes.
Is yes, in a movie in which they throw out characters' names like nothing who are on screen for the first 30 seconds, they do a good job of clarifying that that was not Megan.
Well, we talked about, too, the Mary Elizabeth Winstead character, who they try she's to set her background too. Is that she's Southern. I don't. The only way we know that
and
is because
she had a Southern accent in
one line. She didn't have it before. She didn't have it after.
Why do you go back
after.
To your NASCAR daddy yeah. and mommy? Yeah, maybe like, I will. And then the rest of the she's like,
the rest of the movie,
what do we do next?
Yeah, the rest of the movie, she talks like she's from like straight up the Northeast
from
somewhere.
Or something.
Yeah, it's. One line of Southern accent. That's commitment to a part right there.
Maybe there was like deleted scenes where really she wasn't Southern, but she was convincing other people she was. Oh. Like there could have been a whole other
maybe there's an alternate
there.
Ending
so
where she was the killer.
Now, where, like, yeah. where the guy gets in the window, right? He's trying
there
to do a booty call on that other girl.
I don't know if we're all the way there yet.
Aren't we there or not by now? It's just before the lights what? Go out.
Oh, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's just go there.
Because well, the last flashback hasn't come yet.
Okay.
They, oh, wait, does she goes the sister up, show yeah, up yet? That half-sister?
No, no, this is coming up now, because right. they go upstairs, the guy got in the other girl's
the boyfriend.
Window.
The boyfriend
who's in the porno.
And, yeah. and they do this whole thing where he's, you know, her image is on the computer banging the other... He's, you know,
so he's trying
you know.
To delete it. So
he's trying to...
Non-ancestral, by the way.
By the way,
why do you
X out of it?
No one's going to be born with yellow skin.
She didn't have to go to the fridge
for this. Yeah, why don't you go and just X out of it? But anyway, but they're trying to, you know, they're trying to set up this whole thing, which doesn't freaking matter.
It's a running storyline in this movie
to do with
that
anything.
There's porn on a computer that no one
care.
Sees.
You don't care like, about this guy.
Yeah,
this relationship.
He's trying to establish that at one point he was sleeping with girl A.
But it doesn't matter.
Who was killed in the first 2 minutes
and then
of the movie.
She's killed in the first
so
2 minutes of the movie, but she left the porno was, up. How does he know she left the porno up?
Because he was in the room.
He
came
in
the
room.
Yeah, he came into the room, but wouldn't the screensaver have been up?
No.
You wouldn't have seen
wasn't.
It?
And the whole thing
yeah, I know it wasn't, yeah. but wouldn't
but
have been like...
All this is moot because you don't care about him and you don't care about the relationship at all. I don't care about Katie Cassidy's relationship with this guy.
I'll chip in with one
care.
Thing here. This is not to defend this movie. Apparently in test screenings of this movie, the murder that happens, like the first murder that happens right at the top of the movie, like yeah. the girl who's in the porn on the computer,
oh, that's
apparently...
The
that's the second one.
Or that's the second one, sorry. Apparently that came much later... In the original cut of this movie.
It had to have, because...
It must
yeah.
have, because I'm like, otherwise, who cares about this constant
yeah, why
cutaway?
Because those two...
Why wouldn't you have the characters confront each other?
Right, because yeah. Katie Cassidy and that girl, I think it was Megan, never had any time together.
Yeah.
On screen. Like, she talks to her through the door.
Yeah.
And that was it.
So, and again, the relationship between the guy and the girl, you didn't care about.
Oh, my God. The relationships are crazy. We could have a 5-foot-tall flow chart with all the characters and lines, and it would look like something from, like, an episode of Homeland.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
So I laughed, too, because in this scene, while they're upstairs fighting, like, all the girls and the guy are up there fighting... It just cuts to downstairs, the one girl just puking.
Barf.
Like, it's just...
Yes.
This is a storyline. Yeah, yeah, that girl's yeah. storyline.
It's like, they cut to it. It's like a 3-second
literally,
scene of her
I
just...
I thought she had been drugged or something.
And
all she
back.
Was doing was
the
drinking some wine.
The tension is broken. The tension is broken.
Yeah, they do.
They cut to a girl barfing, and I was so thrown off by this. Like, what? Like, that came out of the nowhere.
Yeah.
I actually put down the time code. It is at 42 minutes and 41 seconds.
They do, and they cut
this
girl
Jack was
barf,
and then it goes right back.
If you haven't,
yeah,
for someone,
cuts, like,
for, yeah,
like
for
the,
someone,
like
who,
the editor was like, you know what, this scene needs, it needs a barf to break it up.
Well, this
just
is,
a little
and they didn't
levity.
Even establish her drinking all that much. She had like a couple
like
glasses
pink.
Of wine,
it's
and suddenly
barf.
She's like,
yeah. But I mean, let's for people who haven't seen this movie, and I don't know if I would recommend you see it. If you're just please understanding don't. This movie from us. They're cutting from like a dramatic conversation. They cut to a shot. Immediately in the shot, a girl projectile vomits.
Yep.
They cut out of the shot to a dramatic conversation between two other characters. That's it. That's
yep.
It.
Yeah. So, right, yeah, and I think he tells a story before the lights go out, though. The guy tells a story of.
He
yeah.
has another flashback,
murder.
Basically. I used to live in this neighborhood, so
yeah.
I have additional yeah. information. Let's flashback to that.
He tells a story of a.
Let's flashback.
A teenage Billy. Kidnaps his sister,
who is also his daughter,
who is also
and
his
who is
daughter.
Like incredibly
well, right. well,
weird looking.
But he kidnaps her because he got a telescope from someone. I don't know who he
his
got it
parents.
From.
His
parents. But bond. His parents, he was locked in. They didn't give him anything. Why did they give him?
No,
because
they had the card. It said from.
Yeah, but why? Yeah, but this is
locked
in an attic.
Why?
His mother buys him
a
telescope because
he liked to stick his eye in things.
So he looks across. He's a normal family getting hogs. Daughter's getting hogs at Christmas. I guess that sets him off. So then he kidnaps Agnes, rips her eye out. Now, I don't know what
but
the hell.
But he does something more impressive.
Eyes
he does
have something... to do anything in this movie.
Oh, this movie is fascinated with eyeballs.
Why?
Yeah. I mean,
you
this,
will see
this movie...
shots of eyeballs. In fact, there's so many like, eyeballs, eyeballs getting ripped out, yeah. Eyeballs getting eaten, eyeballs looking through peepholes.
There's a deleted scene where a girl is dragged down a hallway by
yeah.
her eyeball.
Eyeballs.
There's
and,
an eyeball
and,
on
and
the screensaver.
The eyeball yeah. with the wings on the screensaver. That's yeah. the yeah. best eyeball in the whole
Forget Black Christmas. This movie should just be called Eyeball.
Yeah, because they're eating it. Why the eyeball why the Christmas eyeball? Yeah. I don't know what the whole fascination
Christmas
is.
Corn.
But he does something more impressive. He calls, Billy calls his mom... From within their house.
From the living room.
From the living room. Yeah. He calls in.
Just
in,
like when a stranger calls. The calls are coming from inside the house.
Yeah, how would you do
from
this?
From the other room, before cell phones.
Yeah, this. I was fascinated by this. Yeah, I'm like, right. If I knew how to call my own house from inside the house, like back in the like early 70s or early 80s, that'd be amazing. No,
this was the 90s, actually.
He was oh, it was 90s?
I think it was
yeah.
1990.
It was 91, was
the
I think.
Yeah, it was 1990.
91? Okay. Yeah, that's amazing.
So that
the Arabs
so,
shot down Santa. They just keep adding it every year to reflect the world politics.
Saddam shot down Santa.
Kills his stepfather, kills his mother, and
eats
her skin.
Eats his sister daughter's eyes. I can't
believe we even talked about this. He makes cookies out of his mother's skin, puts them in the oven, actually bakes them, and then
and dunks them in milk.
Now all of a sudden he's a cannibal.
This is crazy. I mean...
Well, he snapped that watch, where he's going to eat his mother's skin.
Oh, this movie is so crazy. And at this point...
Here's a scene that I loved right here. While the girl and her boyfriend are sitting in the room, the bad guy is in the wall, and he pushes a tack out, and he's spying on them
through a tack hole.
Through a tack, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what the hell is that?
He only needs a tiny little opening.
At the end of that flashback, though, they come back and try to misdirect you again with Claire's sister now. All of a sudden pops up in the house.
Yes.
It's almost like another time where they're kind of like, oh, this is Agnes.
Right.
Well, you know, she was way too
they
hot
say,
to be
oh,
Agnes.
They say Agnes went to, you know, and Agnes never been seen again.
That was not an inbred type person.
And I got confused as to which character she was supposed to be. They implied there's this older woman. She's probably in her late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah,
I was trying to figure out who that was.
Jack, if you weren't...
They did because in the first scene, she's writing up...
Wrapping
up presents and says Lee.
But if you weren't confused...
You're right. No, he's right.
You're like a savant if you are not confused in the relationships between the characters at this point.
You don't know who's who.
Yeah, you shouldn't know.
And they just let her in the house
if you're a normal human. Yeah.
Are you still sending Christmas presents to that psychopath I see? She picks up a gift.
Right. Yeah. The gift is there of the from
it's
Billy.
It's an eyeless. Guess what? It's a doll. Yeah. Big surprise. The eyes have been taken out.
Yeah.
This one was from Billy.
From Billy in the box that he must
have
saved.
How did he drop the gift off? At no point. They're all sitting in the
And the wrapping paper was from 1991.
Well, upstairs when what's his face broke in the window.
Yeah.
I really like the
and
one
then
girl.
That argument
my
with
head
her,
is
and,
spinning right now.
Oh, it's yeah. Well, I mean, we almost like have to forget the relationships. Like we
the
just,
lights go out. The one chick finds
forget
shit in the
all
wall.
Character development and relationships.
She finds the newspapers clips in the wall and the doll eyes and.
I was confused because
it really had nothing to do with anything.
No, it had nothing.
And
to do
then the
that,
other
yeah.
chick gets dragged under the porch and.
Well, and the
Wait,
girl.
Let's talk about the shower scene.
Well, I was gonna say the
He's
girl.
He's peeping at her from holes in the floor.
Score.
There's a girl whose entire storyline in this movie
is she
is
sick
that
from drinking
at some
two
point,
glasses of wine.
Yeah, we never see her drink, but we see her like getting sick and throwing up. That's her entire storyline.
I didn't realize until like the fourth time she threw up that it was because of drinking. Because someone finally said like, "No more drinking for you." I thought she was just sick because she wasn't drinking. Yeah.
Or maybe she was drugged.
Right. Yeah.
And if you know anything about house construction. You can't fit between a floor joist.
Yeah, this was like, yeah. this house would have had to have been built specifically for like, someone to crawl through it and be able to like look through
and
all
if,
these
If you're in a room below, you'd have to be on a step ladder.
This guy's got like his superpowers crawling through it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no one, not since Jason's underground lair in the new Friday the 13th movie, have we seen a more elaborate inner workings of a house.
Catacombs in between like the bathroom and the bedroom.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
And everyone's like fascinated by the attic all movie. Do you notice that? Like all of the sort, like everyone's like looking
well,
at the attic.
Snow
everyone's
globe.
Like aware of the attic.
That snow
like,
globe is always going off up there.
That when everyone's like looking at it, like
but no one goes
like,
up there.
But no one
check
goes up
in.
There. Yeah, I don't know. Like, but it was. I'm amazed by how much time people spend staring at the trapdoor to the attic in one movie without going up, without doing anything.
I'm
about
amazed
it.
That Lacey there decides to go onto the porch because why?
because the power was out.
There's a hole.
Oh, the power's out. No. Yeah, she's going.
Yeah, but you go under the porch. Yeah, you know, that's right. That's what
breaks. She drops the cigarette in the hole.
When the power goes
her,
out, you go under the porch.
And so she's under it going like, Eve, I saw your breath.
Yeah, because she...
Real funny. I can see your breath.
I know you're here. I saw your breath. Oh, yeah, Eve's under the
and
porch.
And then, of course, she gets her eyeballs stabbed out.
Why does she think it was...
Oh, no, rake. She gets a little garden rake to the back.
Why did she think it was even Eve? There's, like... Aren't they concerned...
I'm pretty sure it's Eve. She said it was one of the other sisters.
Why are they not concerned... No, but I mean, why are they not concerned at this point that they haven't seen, like, three of the sisters in, like, 3 hours? Like, they don't even know anyone's murdered at this point, and it's, like, an hour into the movie.
Right.
Yeah, they're all in this relatively small house. No one has seen girls for forever. And no one is like, well,
these
one girl's too busy
since
throwing
the first
up.
Scene.
And apparently, everybody hates their family because they're all.
Apparently,
everybody
family,
does. I know.
Yeah.
It's like my family.
But everybody, but they don't just hate their family. Everybody hates everybody else.
Right,
too.
Right.
It seems like nobody likes anybody. They're all like, whatever. Maybe they're in their
it's
rooms.
Like,
I don't care.
It's a great Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Well, at this point.
Very true to life.
And of course, Katie Cassidy's dressed in white, so you know she's the good person.
She's pure.
She's got the white sweater on. So,
and she's blonde, the only blonde in the whole movie.
I think the term is actually hero girl.
Hero
I think
girl.
That's what they in the biz. I think that's what they call it.
In the biz.
Yeah.
Lacey Chabert is killed, and this is when they discover people are getting killed because they go outside to look for her, or they find a body. They go outside to look for her. They find her dead.
They
see
find
blood.
Eve's house. Well, yeah.
They're like,
Eve hasn't left yet.
Yeah, they see Eve's car, so they go and open the door, and her head falls out.
I didn't know that was Eve until I read the synopsis. Because after the movie, I was like, what
well,
happened
they said
to Eve?
It.
Yeah,
you
they
can't
never
really
showed
they
her.
Said it's Eve's car, so you figured
yeah, but
so many,
I couldn't remember
who
Eve was. There are so many characters
that you meet. Half of them you meet for 10 seconds.
Let's be fair here.
It's like going to a family reunion and seeing cousins you've never met, and then after
and then
being like,
their
boy,
heads.
Mortimer looked good, and like,
the names in this movie are thrown out arbitrarily, and they all sound similar, so just throwing the name out is not enough to help establish who these people are.
Somebody said yesterday, I don't remember who it was, that this, not since 88 minutes have more names just been thrown at us in a movie.
Well, this is this great part, because then they find the head, they run inside, call the cops.
Yeah.
And then the one girl doesn't
know
what
a snow brush
is.
They can't get there for 2 hours for a murderer running around outside killing girls.
Is this the first? Oh, I'm
sorry, Mama.
There's fender benders.
We got fender benders all around the county.
This is honestly the first movie I've seen where... they've tried to call the police and like they have no. Usually it's like no cell phone reception or the power has been cut.
Right.
Or like everyone in the police department is dead. Right. But yeah, I've never heard of a load of like, yeah, we got you. Yeah, five people are missing or are dead. Yeah, we'll be there in about 2 hours, we'll give or take. Yeah. Just hang in there.
Yeah.
We can't even
one
unit.
He might still be in the house.
You can't get one cop order.
Well, earlier they called the school security, and the school security
just like
was
in 88
on,
minutes.
Was on
why
campus.
Is the first call the school
campus
security?
Campus security.
Just
like 88 minutes.
Oh, this is like 88 minutes.
Called campus security. That's the first thing I thought. I said, yes, campus security.
That's what this movie was missing. Another red herring being one of the security people possibly being the killer.
So
oh
now,
God.
So
oh
now,
God. I'm sending over my tough guy, Johnny DeFranco, is going to investigate.
What's the Mariners?
Johnny that actor. Like,
I found your Christmas killer. It's Guy Lafarge.
They look at the sorority house window, and he's just like
he's peering over the porch at them.
But he has yellow skin this time. Guy Lafarge has developed a serious liver disease. His skin
must be inbreeding.
Oh God.
Alright, so...
So now the girl tries to escape with the den mother and she doesn't know what a snow brush is.
But we need to talk about this scene too. Okay, so the house mother and one of the girls decide they're going to get in a car and go to the cops.
Yeah.
And we... Okay. And this just angered me. This is the point...
Why, because they all wouldn't leave?
No. Because what happens here... Because then the den mother... Well, the house... We keep calling her den mother. The house mother's like, okay, she goes outside to ice scrape the windows. Because when they get in the car... The car is covered with snow. Every window, every door is covered with snow.
Yeah.
So when the house mother then gets in the car, comes out, gets the brush, starts wiping it off, the killer somehow had teleported himself back into the car.
No one opened any doors.
Without disturbing any of the snow on the car. I guess we're to presume that he went underneath the car and from the bottom?
I don't know. He went through the trunk or something?
Well, he can go through the walls in the house. Maybe he can go through, like, in between crevices in the car.
Right. The car rocks.
And then Denmark's like, whoa, what was that? I guess she's shifting her weight inside there.
So maybe he went in while she was scraping, yeah. But then, still, she would have seen him.
All the blood in this chick's body just
exploded. It looks like
Billy like must have a degree in anatomy. The way he can do like one cut and the whole like room fills up with blood.
So much blood. It looks like Kool-Aid Man was right. Killed in the car.
Like, oh my god!
Yeah.
What did he just do to her in there?
It's ridiculous.
And then my best kill, favorite kill. The den mother.
Yeah, this is the lamest kill.
So she just backs away from the car, and an icicle falls on her.
She looks up with a look of horror on her face as an icicle falls and impales her.
Yeah. So she's not that's just an
unfortunate. Like, there's an accidental death amid all the chaos of these serial killings.
Yeah, if I was like an actor in a horror movie and I saw that's how I died, I'd be like, boy, what a ripoff.
Why doesn't he like kill me with the icicle at least?
The one who
might as well die like
in the original.
One of them dies of a heart attack.
Gets killed by an icicle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So back inside the house, the surviving sorority girls, the sister who's here for a visit, and the boyfriend are all in the house. And in a sequence of events that isn't even worth trying to describe, because they see a flickering light, they determine someone's in the attic.
Because that was a cell phone. The cell phone goes off in the attic.
There's a hole. They look up and there's a hole in the ceiling, and it goes dark, implying someone moved in front of it.
Yeah, so they can tell that there's someone in the attic. Here's my question. Why do they even go up?
They're compelled to go up into the attic.
Go up there and find. Why would you go up in the attic knowing there's a killer up there?
Right, you know everybody's dead.
And knowing you're going to have to climb up this ladder in a totally
why don't you just wait outside the attic door with weapons, and then when they eventually drop down when they think it's all quiet, kill them?
Yeah, I didn't even understand. Like, this. They sort of like are even talking about this too. I think one of the characters is doing this?
Yeah, the guy's like, I'm not going up there. He doesn't want to go.
He doesn't
The half sister wanted to find her.
I'm not leaving until I know Claire. Sister. She's dead. She's alive until I know she's dead.
Yeah.
That's her old reasoning.
Yeah. I didn't. It made no sense. And if I was this guy, I'd be like, no, I'm not. So I'm gonna walk up there and get my head locked. He basically says exactly what's about to happen to him, and then it happens to him. You know. He was right. This is also the longest. This movie's only. Do you realize this movie's like a little over 80 minutes long?
It felt like two hours.
This felt. I honestly thought that I'd been watching it for close to 2 hours.
Well, because it's another one of those ones.
We'll wait. Well, then I just want to say, because before this, there's another kill that I thought was funny, because Michelle Trachtenberg is being attacked by the killer. And she goes to the window in the bedroom and is like, trying to open the window, window.
Yeah.
And it's like, she never once tries to break the glass the window's stuck so she can't get out.
Or she beat him down, did she beat him down? She beat her down.
She did hit her with something.
Did she hit Agnes down?
And then she goes and tries to
wail away at her then.
I'm
going to the window now. She tries to get out the window again.
She never tries to break it.
It's like horror movie logic.
And then Agnes throws a skate at her.
Oh,
and I guess slices the top of her head off, I guess, with a skate.
She sliced her face in like half.
Something like that.
Cut it off.
I couldn't tell what it was, because all of a sudden her head went forward and it just looked like a mess.
It was like a meat carving machine.
What was that? Yeah. Was they implied that her brains were hanging out? Was it supposed to be her face ripped off?
I would also like to say, kudos to whoever was keeping that skate that sharp in the attic.
Right.
Yeah. That's just good.
Yeah, right.
That's just good equipment maintenance right there.
Good craftsmanship.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people would kind of let that thing go, but no, that skate's ready.
Yeah.
And it just kind of drags. I mean,
they go to the attic.
And then they see
the killer, which is
Billy
a woman,
and
but
his,
that looks
his
like
sister,
a man.
Daughter.
I forgot to talk about that. The whole time, as this Agnes is doing killings, I'm thinking, who's this guy?
Yeah, with the long hair. I said, did Billy grow hair?
Well, I didn't think it was Billy. I was like, I think I'm be like, oh, he had a twin. I mean, who's this freaking guy?
Killing. Yeah,
and
then
also she says, I'm Agnes. I'm like, well, why'd they kiss the guy in the freaking
movie? I know. The guy playing
This movie needed.
Is it supposed to be because she's inbred? She looks like a man?
Well, Agnes, the thing was, the last time you saw Agnes,
she was dark hair.
She was like, wasn't like a pretty girl, but she looked like a girl.
She was dark hair.
And she's like, I don't know if she went on drugs.
Now she's a blonde.
She like became a man.
Seriously? She looked like John Fogerty in a wig.
Then they treated it.
She did.
She looks like a cracked out Cabbage Patch kid.
Then they treated it though that it was like this huge reveal that it was Agnes. Yeah. And it was like the fact that it was Agnes wasn't.
We thought Eve was Agnes.
What we thought was gonna be the reveal was one of them was Agnes, but
Right. The reveal wasn't that it was Agnes, but they treated it like, oh my God, it's Agnes.
Oh,
like,
and by the way, Agnes had one of her eyes taken out. Just thought I'd remind you there. Well, eyeballs.
That and
right.
Sort
so
of,
she kills Billy, or not Billy. She kills the dude,
the boyfriend,
rips his eyeballs out for some reason, holds him by the. Well, we watch the unrated version.
Yeah,
eats them.
Eats them.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay.
And then
again,
all the girls, the two girls, are just staring in horror at the body part Christmas ornaments, screaming, "Ah! Oh, did it cuss to something else? Ah! Oh, did it cuss to something else?"
Yeah, there's just, I mean, just to kind of sum, there's sort of a fight in the attic. They get a fight that goes through the crawl spaces.
Yeah, they fall down
in
the
wall again.
In the wall,
and just like in Halloween Resurrection, they use ether or paint thinner or something, and they burn him up.
I'm convinced that this was like part of a reshoot or something, that this wasn't the fire wasn't in the original movie, because
no, it was
all the shots of them like starting the fire are just like quick shots of
they
like,
look
hands
like insert shots. Yeah, they,
yeah,
do.
They're insert shots. They look like reshoots. Yeah.
You watch the other endings and everyone has them burn up.
Well, but then because when they go to the hospital, they don't look burned up. So I thought,
well, that's what I'm saying.
All the insert shots, like, they look like reshoot.
I think
like
they definitely
shots.
Must have shot in.
Because well,
in a movie
like
that's wildly confusing, I love that they decided to try to explain things. Now the fire started instead of shooting an insert that explains who the heck any of these characters are and how any of them know each other.
Well,
we can't know who those characters are, but the audience is going to get confused if they don't know how that fire got started.
Yeah, that laundry room is engulfed in flames, and you're like, oh, thank God. This movie's over.
But it was just like a Halloween Resurrection.
I know they're probably going to wrap it up. One more quick little
but
scene.
But that's when they'll I paused and I saw there was 15 minutes left, and I groaned.
I thought I'd been watching for close to 2 hours.
They go to the hospital, and they show it was like, and they bring the body bags in. I'm like, oh.
It's like Halloween Resurrection.
Oh, no.
It's exactly like Halloween Resurrection. Well, they wake up on the slab.
It's only like Halloween 2. Except like the worst version of No. Like the worst.
No, I know.
This is like a garbage version.
But how do you pull a guy out of the wall who's been burned up, take his pulse, and that like, guy is dead? And that, no, I mean,
and have that happen two times.
Two of them, yeah.
Because they weren't even burned up.
Ridiculous. Right.
Well, their hair was a little scar on her face.
That's
true.
In the deleted scene, the other endings,
alternate endings,
Billy's burnt. He's crisp.
I didn't watch the alternate. I'm talking about the ones in the actual
movie. That's what I'm saying. That's how effed up this is. Because in the alternate endings, he's all burned up. He's in a hospital bed. He dies. He's burned up.
And actually, he doesn't die.
This one, he gets out of the body bag and,
it's like some soot on his face.
Yeah, like a little bit of his face is burnt up.
Yeah, it's
a
like a tiny...
He was
like
in the wall, freaking toast.
Maybe he's like terrible. Santa Claus. He can go through chimneys and is impervious to fire.
Apparently, he can get in drop ceilings. You know,
is Santa
you
Claus
ever try to get a
to
drop
fire?
Ceiling, you're going to fall right through.
Yeah.
But they can get a drop ceiling. No, right where this chick's room is, just kind of like scurry along. How the hell do they know where the room is?
It's terrible. It's terrible. There's like... we shouldn't even talk about it. Anyway, the hero girl uses a defib machine.
Before you even get to that, though, here's my favorite part.
The sister got killed.
Here's my favorite part before you even get to that. The sister gets killed. They bring Katie Cassidy back in. She gets in bed. And as the nurse is going out, she...
What I'm talking about, the foreshadowing.
It goes, oh, they were supposed to fix this door.
Yeah.
She opens it up. You're like... Oh my God.
But then she's still able to open it.
Yeah.
No. Because here's what she does. The Agnes comes in. Cassidy defibs her, knocks her down, runs to the door, starts pulling on the door. It won't open. She smashes the window open, reaches her hand through, undoes the door, walks out into the hallway, and there's a nurse 20 feet away.
Yeah.
Who walks casually
she's
away,
like walking
pushing
with the cart.
Yeah. Medical supplies. As if she didn't even hear the window smash.
A patient just exited a door.
Violently.
Breaking
running crazy.
And someone's like, I gotta go fill out this form.
Sorry, I'm on my med round.
Mr. Martin needs his meds.
I've got my form C8 to fill out.
She's
sorry.
Like 20 feet away from her. Doesn't even turn. She's just background in the, you know?
Oh,
terrible,
boy.
Terrible. This is... unbelievable.
But
terrible.
To be like,
one other thing I want to talk about at the end. There are alarms going off at the hospital. The alarms are being overpowered by carolers.
Carolers. That's right. She can't get out of the room because maintenance hasn't picked the door yet. Yeah. She hits the emergency button. And you see the light going, and you're like,
that is...
Old King Wenceslaus.
How loud the caroling must be to overpower an emergency alarm.
They're in the freaking emergency room, and like all the doctors and like staff are just on standby listening to caroling.
Yeah. And hold on. Don't. No one move. I think they're gonna play "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen" next. Yeah.
Hey, we got two burn victims that may or may not be alive or dead.
Yeah.
They're playing "Good King Wenceslaus" now.
Oh, terrible.
It must be why they mispronounced them dead, because they want to get back to the hospital to watch the.
Oh yeah, they're dead. 2:23-ish. Let's go.
Yeah. awful, awful. So the hero, the hero girl impales Billy on a Christmas tree,
which was
star,
like
which
the only
is
fitting.
Like,
I thought that was the only fitting thing. You have to kill him on a Christmas. You have to kill him in some Christmas theme way.
At this point, I just wanted the movie to stop.
But it didn't.
I was not impressed. I was like, at least they did it. At least they impaled him on the Christmas tree.
Is that even possible? How do you get impaled on a Christmas tree unless it's made out of like cast
iron?
It's
a razor sharp.
That doesn't
star
matter to me. You did
know.
It. You had to do
whoever
it.
Whoever pruned that tree?
Okay. It's the one good thing.
It's like punji sticks.
That means the movie's over.
Yeah,
he has to be dead after this.
And they didn't do any like, oh, maybe Agnes is still alive.
No.
I mean, it did in the alternate endings, which actually.
Oh, yeah, she shocks Agnes and that's it.
One of the.
I mean, I'm sure she didn't survive it, but.
Two of the alternate endings were much better than that ending.
I refused on principle to watch the alternate
ending. Yeah, the director chose the original ending when it was first released.
This movie stole 90 minutes of my life.
Yep.
Yes.
And I was not giving it anymore. I wouldn't watch any of the behind the scenes. I was like, I'm not giving this movie any more of my life. It has been a vampire sucking like the life
force out
of me.
Well, I did watch the behind the scenes, and I learned a little interesting tidbit that I'll bring up in a minute.
Oh,
yeah,
foreshadowing.
Yeah.
I
did not watch the behind the scenes. So.
All right, let's jump right into week's game.
And we talked about this too. I'm pretty sure it's R-rated in the theaters. It had to be, right?
Yeah,
it had to be. Yeah.
Or unless they pulled the whole PG-13.
And I'm not a big fan of you got to throw sex in
Oh God.
But the only thing you had, well, we talked about.
Based on the earlier content of this podcast, I'm very afraid by where this is.
You
brought
it up. No, Andy just wants to see some good and sexual sex.
It's something you talked about earlier.
I'll say about this. Well. Because for a movie, when I put this movie in, I didn't know anything in its background. I'm like, oh, it's set in a sorority house. I'm like, oh God, there's gonna be like a lot of like cheesy
TNA.
Yeah.
There's none.
And there is not.
There is not.
There's like one A in the shower scene.
Yeah. And the only T you see is
there's a little
old lady when she's riding
a middle-aged
boyfriend.
Woman. Yeah.
No, there's a little T in the shower scene.
A little bit. You see
it's
a little
like side boob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No nip.
But really not much. That I was very surprised.
Not enough.
It's not full on T and C.
Side B, no nip.
And you can hear more of Andy's thoughts on the Mr. Skin podcast coming up soon.
You can see more of Andy's thoughts in prison.
They're all college girls.
Okay.
If you want to know what Andy looks like, check for FBI warnings in your local listings. All right, let's jump right to our game of So Wrong It's Right. This movie obviously is inspired by the 1974 Black Christmas, which was directed by Bob Clark, who a lot of people know.
Clark.
This movie has a couple of interesting references to Bob Clark, including a very direct reference to another Bob Clark classic. Is there a very direct,
Bob Clark
classic?
Yeah. No, okay. I saw it. Yes, yeah.
It's either to, these are four other Bob Clark films: Porky's, Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things, Dead of Night, and A Christmas Story. There are
Jack, because we all know the answer.
Jack, which one? If you're gonna take a guess,
it's gotta be Porky's.
Okay. Jack. All right, Jack's going Porky's. Okay.
the holes that the guys are looking through.
He did.
Actually,
he
you know what? Actually, I, you know what? Okay. We'll go back. Actually, that's
Let's be fair. Well, there's an awful lot of peering and showering girls.
What one are you guys all?
It's a Christmas story.
Because that's what A Christmas Story was.
I'm declaring everyone a winner because you guys are correct. There's a leg lamp. The leg lamp from A Christmas Story makes beer. But I think Jack is correct.
I did not catch the leg lamp. I was too busy. Like, this movie's wasting my time.
I think that actually the shower voyeur scene is also sort of a reference to Porky's. The way it's actually shot, I didn't even think of that. Yeah. That is a Porky's reference.
Jack.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. See, and you thought that I'd get it wrong for some
reason. Trophies for everybody.
Yeah. And
you went with the easy route, the Christmas Story route.
And the sanitarium is... you put more thought into it. The sanitarium is also called Clark Sanitarium in the movie.
Oh, I didn't catch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're also in the ward is called 1225, by the way.
Yeah, it was 1225.
That's with a Christmas wreath around it.
That's just awful.
But he was not in room 24 or 25.
No.
He was in room 26.
Wasn't Jesus in the room 24?
Happy birthday, and the guy starts shouting. You remember that?
Oh,
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. He's giving all the patients cookies.
Happy birthday.
And then he says, happy birthday, and this one guy looks like Jesus and starts quoting the Bible, yeah. And he keeps walking. It's a cute
There's two
joke.
Bits of trivia, too, I want to bring up. One is that I was reading that they actually shot scenes and shot specifically for the trailer to make it look like a better movie.
Oh, yeah. Really?
They shot, like, scenes
oh,
of,
I
like...
I love it when they do that.
Like, different murders and like... I can't remember what the shots were. There was one with Billy crawling across the ceiling with a hatchet or something. Like, stuff to make it... Stuff that was never meant to be in the movie, but was...
Lacey Chabert and Michelle Trachtenberg were brought back in for reshoots for promotional material.
Oh, no,
not movie material. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Which, that's a new low. And that the director didn't know about.
The director
didn't even know about it. He saw one of these and was like, what is that footage?
Yeah. The other part is actually this movie has a local connection, which
Ooh,
is
that's it.
Glenn Morgan, who I knew from his involvement with The X-Files, and he's done other stuff too, actually grew up in Syracuse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He grew up before spent time in Syracuse.
Yeah. That's
Alex said, he gives Syracuse a bad name.
At one point, I thought this thing was being shot by a 5-year-old because did you notice all the low angle shots?
I mean, tons
of there's a lot of
5-year-old like does too.
I have daddy.
Yeah. But actually, shot by a well known cinematographer, actually, really good cinematographer.
Is that how a 5-year-old would shoot a movie, by the way?
Like,
daddy, I got it, daddy.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can't see me crouching down doing that on the podcast, but that's how they would do it.
Wow. That 5-year-old's got some like good camera technique. That's pretty impressive.
He probably shouldn't talk while he's shooting, though.
Oh, that's true.
And a little bit of trivia. I'm not going to defend Glenn Morgan, but this apparently the test screenings for this movie went poorly or it didn't go well. A lot of changes were made over his will, and a lot, apparently like 20 minutes was taken out of this movie.
Deleted scenes I saw weren't nothing. Really.
There's not much in there.
Yeah, it's not
like
nothing.
I guess they're not released. I
watched the deleted scenes. So I was hoping it'd be more character development and explain a little more. And it's like, now they just took like little chunks out that didn't.
I have to think that whatever was deleted had to have explained. And apparently the timeline, like we were even saying, like that early murder apparently was supposed to happen later. I mean,
they reshuffled.
Dramatic recuts in post production rarely, help movies, and so that may have been hurt by that. There it is. I think actually that brings to a close our first annual holiday movie fiasco fiesta. Hopefully, looking forward to the second annual. Already have some suggestions for that one. Some
for next
thoughts.
Year?
Oh yeah.
Jeez.
Already thinking about that one. Got some thoughts. And a new segment to debut this week. We're calling it The Finer Things, a blatant theft from that great episode of The Office when they have the Finer Things Club. And in the finer things, we're going to talk about other things we enjoy. This is sort of like, if the movie is the worst of times, the finer thing is the best of times. Things we actually enjoy outside of this movie.
Oh, we actually have to say things like we actually do like.
Well, you can,
yeah. Because they're bad.
Well, things we can actually plug for things that we actually like.
I wish I had some advance notice on this.
Yeah, I did. I dropped this on them about 5 minutes before we started taping. Jack Wood, anything you want to start? Anything you'd like to plug, mention to people to check out? In addition to your Twitter feed, at Jack Esterberg.
Jack Esterberg, that's true. I don't tweet them all, but I tweet a lot of the movies that we watch for the podcast as sort of like a running view into my mind, just thoughts that pop into my head as I'm watching the movie.
That's also a great reminder for why we should not get Twitter on. I mean, Andy on Twitter.
Yeah.
We do not want to view.
No, I'm not on Twitter.
You all know that incest causes yellow skin.
Did you know that refrigerators?
Now you know.
We find Andy has all kinds of medical links to this rare liver disease.
Did you know your fridge is full of sex toys?
Not satisfied with your lover? Check the fridge.
Yeah.
Go home. You're all going to go home to your fridge.
The top 10 things you can satisfy yourself with in your refrigerator.
Yeah. Hashtag Andy's tips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack, anything you want
to... I don't know. I used to go to a website like all the time. I used to love it, but I think it's been taken down. Badmovies.org, which I used to love. Do a web search. They might still be up, but I think they got taken down because last time I tried to load it in, it wasn't working.
Okay.
It's a good place to go. I like bad movies that are really bad. Like movies that make this look like Citizen Kane. I have quite an extensive collection. And I enjoy watching them and lampooning them, like Mystery Science Theater. I love that. Any listeners who are familiar with that show. I would recommend anyone watch some of these bad movies because they are at times delightful.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's about it.
Are we supposed to talk like albums we're listening to?
Well, anything you want to plug, anything you want to, the finer
getting
things.
To know, getting to know.
Things finer than this movie.
Go see Skyfall because it's amazing.
That's a good plug. That's which I also need to do.
You haven't seen Skyfall yet?
I know, I feel really bad about
that. What the
heck's
wrong with you, Alex?
How
can you be
There's a lot wrong.
How can you be a curator of a movie podcast right. and not have seen Skyfall?
I've been too busy conducting.
I haven't seen that either.
I've been too busy conducting. Andy?
Give me something.
Well, I think we could mention, how about your...
What's your favorite, when you go down to the fridge, you have... late at night. What are you looking for?
I love that I'm about to help Andy vote for his own plugs. Could we talk about the documentary you have?
I want to talk about something like that.
Oh, okay,
yeah. I'll do that. Yeah,
you have a documentary.
Yes. Andy's like that guest on like a late night talk show where like they
you've
forget
feed
why
me.
They
you
know. Yeah. yeah.
Don't you have a movie coming out?
I don't know if
out?
I want to like do anything personal thing like that, but yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Called Monster Mansion Memories. Look back at the Monster Movie Matinee, which was big here in Syracuse area.
Yeah, one of the great shows. You probably remember. I mean, a lot of TV Markets had them, a show where they would kind of show classic horror films, hosted by, but this is one, I mean, unquestionably one of the best.
Yeah, one of the
Syracuse.
Better ones. I mean, across the nation, usually top three across the nation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And great got Facebook. Me hooked on horror movies when I was a kid.
Yeah, and great Facebook page. Monster.
Yeah, I got a Facebook page, Monster Mansion Memories.
Monster Mansion Memories.
Join it. I'm hoping to hit 400 soon.
I
was hoping to
hit. Oh, you're followers. I thought you were saying you're 400 years old.
No. Okay. I'm hoping to hit 400.
Yeah, okay.
400. Yeah. I'm hoping to hit 400 followers.
And Andy's like Burgess Meredith's elf character with the long beard. He's just internal. Like.
Yeah. And that documentary is in post-production, as
yes,
I understand it.
Yes, that's slowly going.
Okay.
It's slowly going. But I want to have it done, last October didn't work.
Okay.
But all right. 2013 should be
good
for us.
It's going to be a great year.
Follow it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Brian, what do you have for the finer things?
Well, one of my favorite things of the holiday season is to turn on ABC Family or Lifetime or Hallmark and watch terrible made-for-TV Christmas movies.
I was going to say, you're watching Hallmark?
Calm down, Andy. It's a Christmas
You're a single
season.
Guy, aren't you? Oh
my God. If you've seen some... I watched some of a Joey Lawrence Christmas movie.
Oh, my God.
Was,
did you?
And it was... insane.
Wretched.
It was like there should somewhere out there. I can only hope there was a podcast making fun of crazy holiday movies because this one. And if you've ever seen one, I can't remember. I think it's the girl who played Clarissa the Teenage Witch and Slater from Saved by the Bell
Clarissa
are handcuffed together. That one is bananas.
You watched it?
Oh, I it was like on and
oh,
I watched
yeah.
Like I
it's
watched
called
like
stealing
it's
some, Christmas
oh
or something like that. Yeah, she kidnaps some wealthy guy and pretends that he's her boyfriend.
Yeah, Slater is not handcuffed
to
her by
her
choice. If you were ever clicking through and you see this,
it's pretty funny.
Crazy.
I actually just watched that a few days ago.
Yeah, that one's crazy. Yeah.
My favorite movie though that I've seen so far this year is called The 12 Dates of Christmas. And Amy Smart and Mark Paul Gosselaar, another Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Apparently, that's all Saved by the Bell people do these days is make made-for-TV Christmas movies. It's basically a Christmas version of Groundhog Day.
Have you seen this one? Well, my wife was watching some of this one. Yeah, I've seen some of this one. It is. It's a total ripoff of Groundhog Day.
And they basically, Amy Smart and the guy from Saved by the Bell just have this same date over and over and over again. And she kind of does worse, does better sometimes every night. And it's all in all pretty terrible.
Oh, yeah. So it's like Groundhog Day if Groundhog Day wasn't funny at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Take all the charm, romance, and comedy out of Groundhog Day and this 12 Days of Christmas.
Okay.
12 Dates of Christmas.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Cool. Nice.
Finer things.
I'm going to plug a fellow podcast that I really enjoy, Crazy TV Talk. It's really check it out. If you like this show, if you like television, you know what? Strike that. You don't even have to like television. If you are aware of the existence of televisions, if you know what a television is, I think you would like this podcast, Crazy TV Talk. Every week they go into some of the hot TV shows, they'll debate them. It's fun. You actually learn a lot about these shows. Really, really good podcast. I would definitely plug that podcast.
I don't know how they're going to survive, though. That's such a narrow market. People who are aware of television,
it's true. It's a niche.
Yeah.
It's a niche. People, just
it's not
going
to catch on. Probably
yeah.
Not.
Yeah, it's a fad. We all know it's a fad. Yeah. I mean, it's, everyone knows the Magic Lantern show is where people want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what else would I like to plug? We have our In the Works documentary on the World Board Gaming Championships.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, another
When's that going to be ready?
That is probably a couple months off. We have finished shooting it, though. We are editing it, and that is well in the works. That's going to be a treat. Hopefully, it will not appear on this show with us making. That'd be the saddest episode ever of us making.
Alex is
of our
just
own
on the
movie.
Defensive the whole time. Yeah. Well, you're on it too, right?
We should do. Yeah.
We should do Mr. Halloween, though. Maybe we should just plug that.
Oh,
let's plug Mr. Halloween.
Oh yes, yes.
Oh,
indeed.
We should plug Mr. Halloween.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, Mr. Halloween. Yes, indeed. Because I can't.
I'm plugging myself. I didn't have an actual plug, so my plug.
The Wolf Boys here are.
My plug is Mr. Halloween.
Have a film.
The auteurs of Mr.
And you,
Halloween.
You can actually buy this out in stores. It's around Halloween time. It's typically included with box sets.
It's on an 8-pack set now.
Eight-pack sets.
It is. I bought it.
It's got busted down.
Mr. Halloween. But you know what? I bet it's the best of the 8 movies.
It's made completely 100% local. It's a truly independent film.
Don't believe the reviews you see online.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Halloween.
Judge for yourself.
While you guys were going around, I apologize. I went first, so I kind of was searching there. But I would like to plug a filmmaker from Canada named Brett Kelly.
Oh yeah.
You can find all of his movies, or at least most of them, on Netflix. I met him in person. He's a nice guy. He makes crazy, bizarre, wacky, fun to watch movies. If you're looking to kill some time,
Jack wants to plug him.
Yeah. If you're looking to kill some time, turn your brain off and enjoy Brett Kelly.
Brett Kelly, that's right. Jack has actually, met him.
I have met him. I went up to Canada to see a premiere of one of his films called Avenging Force the Scarab. I got a signed poster.
Wait, hold on. Because grammatically, there's like...
Wait, what is it?
Avenging Force. Subtitle, The Scarab. It's a superhero movie.
Oh, okay.
Avenging Force the Scarab.
Okay.
He makes movies that are typically, like... sci-fi based, they're incredibly low budget, and they're, fun to watch. Look them up on Netflix, Brett Kelly. You will not be disappointed.
Okay. And as always, at the end of the show, I was always going to say, we're still getting people used to our new webpage. If you please subscribe to this show, if you can, on iTunes. If you had an old subscription, you may need to resubscribe because we had to reset up our feed. And our fantastic website, which is moderated by our own Cody Wolf.
Curated.
I'm the curator of this particular
moderated. Website. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. I thought it started with an I, though.
Yeah.
What?
I thought it started with an I. Keep going.
You thought moderator started with
no,
an
no,
I?
No, the word I was looking for.
Well, the I is silent.
Just like a week later, find the right word.
Yeah, I'm still looking for it.
Okay.
It's going to take me a couple months.
Tune in next week.
He's the imperial master of the podcast.
Yeah.
That might be it.
The website, as always, stopthemoviepodcast.podbean.com. Mm-hmm. Fantastic episode summaries. Love the summaries of the episodes on there. Mm-hmm. And go to our Facebook page, mm-hmm. Stop the Movie. I want to get out on Facebook.
Make sure you like us.
Like us. And you get to see the stills that Jack and Cody pick for each episode. By far, the best part of our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. They are amazing. Mm-hmm.
And
well
believe me,
seeing.
There's quite a few for this one that I probably don't even want to post on Facebook because I want to keep
it
PG.
I am curious to see what you're going to pull for this one.
Yeah,
I was
stilling like every 2 minutes. I do screen capping because,
Okay. And you can follow us.
Shower scene.
You can follow some of us on Twitter. You can follow Jack.
Yes, at Jack Estabrook again, like I mentioned earlier.
At Cody A. Wolf.
At Cody Wolf and at Wind Up Films for the latest updates on all things from us. And
we should have a Twitter page for the podcast.
We may.
We should tweet the podcast live.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Did we just get a snarky comment from the guy who isn't even on Twitter?
No, so wouldn't that make sense?
That was kind of snarky,
Is
that snarky?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make sense?
Wouldn't that make sense, guys?
Let's make
that, that was not snarky.
That was like Valley right? Girl.
Yeah,
like.
I don't know.
Andy Wolf,
let's
you are hereby now in charge of
there's
the
no in between.
Yeah, let's make him,
it's either snarky or like adolescent teenage girl.
Yeah.
You are now
would
the curator
it,
of this Stop the Movie podcast.
Yeah. Wouldn't that make sense?
I'm 5-year-old now, if you want me to.
I think that impression. I think that. We're putting.
Exhibit A, why we don't record this podcast on video.
Yeah.
Like that.
We'll save that for our improv comedy podcast. And as always, if you can, if you enjoy this show, please leave us a positive review on iTunes. We lost all of our iTunes reviews in the great website meltdown of 2012. And we are trying to rebuild those. So if you enjoy
day
this show,
day,
day by day, one,
even
yeah,
if you,
one
if you already
time,
did one, please do it again.
Yeah, please, even if you, a star review or a written review, if you can help us out, we greatly appreciate it. And other than that, we will see you back here next time for another terrible movie. We're actually right after we go off the air, we're gonna decide what the next terrible movie will be. So we will stay
Mr.
tuned.
Mr. Halloween.
Oh boy, that episode would be
not
meta.
Not Mr. Halloween
like,
too, though.
So like we.
It might end up at someone dying. It might end up at someone being impaled on a Christmas tree.
We'd all have to play characters to like be able to do it. Follow us on Twitter, on Facebook. Find out what the next movie's going to be. All right, we'll see you then.
Happy holidays, everyone.